Brilliant. Thank you, Karen. Please do keep open that Bible passage in front of you. And let me say a prayer as we begin. Father, we want to pray now that we might understand more of what it means to be adopted into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to Adopted. This is a five-week series of talks looking at different angles on what it means to be a Christian and have new life in God's family. And today it's our first one looking at the issue of security. Can I really be sure that I am part of God's family, that I'm a child of God? This morning, I want us to see that if we are adopted into God's family, then we are meant to have a deep sense of security. God doesn't want his children to be kind of living in insecurity and uncertainty. And I reckon all of us, don't we? We deep down have that desire to want that kind of security. Don't we all deep down long for that? To know that we are loved and that we belong. I guess part of the reason why God uses this image in the Bible of adoption to talk about what it means to be a Christian is to make that very point, that we are meant to live with security. And that's what adoption's meant to do, isn't it? Adoption is meant to bring security. So think about a child being adopted into a family. Well, when that happens, it's a kind of fixed and certain and permanent thing. Something legal has changed which cannot be undone. The child is meant to grow up then with an absolute security that they belong and that they are loved. That kind of security, when they get that, will mean that they will flourish. But the thing is, isn't it, that for children who are adopted, often it can be actually quite a long time and be quite a struggle for them to accept that they really are secure. And that's because they will come from a broken home if they're adopted. And, well, maybe this even is a personal issue for you. That children who have come from a broken family often struggle with this. Am I really loved? Am I really secure in this family? It's why I'm told often children and youth want to push boundaries with teachers, with parents, with youth leaders or whoever it might be. Because they push the boundaries because they want to know, even if I push the boundary, am I still loved? Am I still someone who belongs and is accepted? You see, it can take a long time for an adopted child to get that, to really get that they are loved and they belong. And the same is the case when we are adopted into God's family. It can be a struggle to believe that we really do have security in this family, that we really do belong and that we really are loved. And so this morning, what we're going to be doing is looking at this. How can I be really sure that I am a child of God? Perhaps you're here this morning and you would call yourself a Christian. Well, this morning I want you to walk away with a deep sense of security that you belong to his family. Perhaps you're someone who often has doubts of where you stand with God. Well, I want this morning to let the Bible speak into those doubts. Perhaps you're here this morning, though, and you're not a Christian. You won't call yourself that way. Well, can I say it's great to have you along. Welcome. Please feel free to come back and listen in. And this morning, I want you to listen in and catch a glimpse of what the Christian life is meant to be like. I want you to begin to see this morning how wonderful life in God's family is meant to be. And so invite you to be adopted into God's family. So what we're going to do is we're going to see three reasons that a Christian can be sure that they have been adopted into God's family. And those three reasons come from our reading we just had from the letter of Galatians. Quick context is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to a new church in the first century. And what you need to know is, well, some wrong ideas had crept into this church. And it had left many church members unsure as to whether they were really part of God's family. these wrong ideas said, well, you had to keep God's law from the Old Testament if you wanted to be in. You had to get circumcised if you're a man. You had to stop eating certain foods and do lots of things like that. But Paul says they've got it all wrong. Membership of God's family all hangs on God's son, Jesus. So can I be sure that I'm a child of God? Basic answer is yes. Look to God's son. So let's see three reasons of looking to God's son. Okay, we need to look at how God's son made us one with him, first up. Okay, and here are our key verses, verse 26. Have a look at that verse again. So verse 26, it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." You are all sons of God through faith. Now, it might not seem much, but it's massive. And it's foundational to everything we're really saying in this series called Adopted. Paul's logic is this. Jesus Christ is God's son. And if we are in him, then we are sons too. So how can I be sure that I'm a child of God? Basic answer, if you are in Jesus, then you are a child of God. It's that simple. So chapter 4, verse 4, Paul calls Jesus God's son. And if you are in him, then you are a son. That's why he goes for sons and not daughters in this passage. It's that logic, you see. He's the son, and if you're in him, then you are a son. So the big question on the table, isn't it, is what does it mean to be in Jesus? What does it mean to be in him? Now, we're used to being in something, aren't we? So we jump in a car and we are in the car. Where the car goes is where we go. But what does it mean to be in a person? It's a bit odd, isn't it? Well, it kind of means that you are joined to that person, you are relationally one with them, so much so that their standing, their wealth, their relationships become yours. And the best illustration here is that of marriage. So let's take the most famous wedding in the last decade, Prince William and Kate Middleton. On the day Kate married William, a commoner became a member of the royal family. William's wealth, his status, his family became her wealth, status, and family. By marrying William, she's been adopted into the royal family. She gets to join Christmas, as we saw earlier, at the royal household. He's a royal prince, and by marrying him, she becomes a royal princess. He's a royal son, and by marrying him, she becomes a royal daughter. And so that is a brilliant picture of what it means to be in Christ. When someone becomes a Christian, they become one with Jesus, married to him, as it were, and so adopted into his family. Jesus is the Son of God by nature, and we are sons and daughters of God by adoption. Now, verse 26 tells us how that works, how it happens. It says there it's by faith. And you can see that faith is the key because it comes up in verse 23, verse 24, verse 25, verse 26. Paul's very clear, how do I get to become in Christ? By faith. Now, today, when we talk about a person of faith, we usually just mean, well, they've got some kind of religion going on. But in the Bible, faith is a much more specific thing. Faith is trust and dependence. Faith is relying on someone else. And so here it means trusting, depending, and relying on Jesus. But you could think of other examples. You see, when a woman marries a man, she is putting her trust in that man, right? So when Kate marries William, that's what's going on. It's a deeply relational thing. I'm going to cling to you. From now on, my life is going to be bound up with your life. Every day I'm going to walk in relationship with you. I will look for strength and comfort and help in you, for better and for worse. See, that's what faith is. It's not just an opinion or head knowledge, you know, I believe in God or something. It's not that. Faith is a daily trusting relationship with Christ. What it will look like, well, will be a desire to pray in his name, a desire to know him in the Bible, a desire to love his people, a desire to serve him and his purposes, a desire to become like him. So can I say, is that you? Is that you? If so, then stop doubting and know that you are in Christ, and so you are a child of God. Perhaps that's not you, at least yet, and well, see then that this is what makes someone a Christian. It simply comes down to faith. Are you trusting in Jesus? And the wonderful thing, isn't it, that means anyone can become a Christian. Verse 28, look what he says there. You can be anyone, Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. You can just become a Christian because it just hangs on whether you have faith. You don't have to be a certain type of person, you know, a religious person or born into the right family or anything like that. You just need to accept Jesus's marriage proposal and put your faith in him. It's that simple and that demanding. It's simply putting your trust in Christ, yet that involves walking with him every day and putting your whole life in his hands. That's what it means to be a Christian. So how can I be sure I'm a Christian? Well, first answer is look at how God's Son has made us one with him. If we are in him by faith, daily trusting him, then be of no doubt you've been adopted into his family. Okay, secondly, look at how God's Son came to redeem us. You see, we've seen that God's Son came into the world to make us one with him. He came to marry us and to make us part of his family. But what we need to see is what it took for him to win his bride. You see, the story of adoption into God's family is a rags-to-riches story. We love those kinds of stories so much, don't we? It's the time of year of pantomimes, and pantomime fairy stories are so often rags-to-riches stories, aren't they? So think Cinderella, Dick Whittington, Aladdin, and I guess many others as well. And the classic fairy tale is of a prince coming to marry a commoner. And let me suggest the reason why we love those stories so much, the reason why they seem to chime so deeply with something in us, is because all of us live inside a rags to riches story. What do I mean by that? You see, the story of me is so much bigger than me. I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose to be born into this world. I didn't choose to be me. I am caught up into a bigger story. I'm caught up into the story of the world. The story of me is so much bigger than me. And what is that story of the world? Well, that story of the world is at first a sad story of how humans turned away from the God who made them and became slaves. It's what Paul's getting at in chapter 4, verse 3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Paul's saying all of us are slaves to the basic desires of our hearts. It's what happens when we push God out of the picture. God made us to find security and purpose and hope and intimacy and community in him. And those basic desires then are kind of hardwired into us. We want those things and we were made to find them in God. But when we push God out of our lives, well, the thing is, our hearts still desire those things. My heart still desires security, intimacy, purpose and hope. We still long for those things and say, what do? We try to find them elsewhere. We look to our job, our achievements, our family, our popularity, our image, our football team, or whatever it might be. We look to those things to meet those desires of our hearts. But those things just cannot bear that weight. And in fact, we end up becoming slaves to them. Just think about it for a moment. If my family is what I think will fulfill me and meet the basic desires of my heart, then I will pump all my emotional energy into my family. And I will get very angry when one family member isn't committed or the family seems to be falling apart. We become slaves to what we think will satisfy us. And all these things, family, career, achievements and all the rest, are good gifts from God, of course, but they are not God himself. And we were made to be loved by him. You see, it's like seeing a beach whale. I don't know if you ever had a chance to see one. A whale was made to enjoy life in the sea and not lying on a beach struggling for air. We were made to enjoy life knowing God and not elsewhere. And the shocking truth of the story of the world is that we humans have made such a mess of this world. We were all born as slaves to the basic desires of our hearts. And it's all come because we push God out of our lives. But the good news is this. God's Son looks on us and he sees the mess we've made of this world. He sees what the mess we've got ourselves into. And his heart is moved to love. And what does love do? It comes and joins us in our mess. And this is chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. It's the good news that we saw at our carol service back in December. God's Son joined us in our mess so that we could join him in his family. He became like us so that we could become like him. We saw then it's a bit like that incredible 2018 cave rescue in Thailand. Remember that? The football team of boys who got stuck underground 2.5 miles from the entrance, stuck underground for 18 days. The monsoon rains had fallen, the flood levels in the caves were rising, the boys were trapped and their oxygen was running out. And after days underground, expert divers managed to reach them. A diver would swim into the cave and pull one boy out at a time through all the underwater tunnels back up to safety. And that's what God's Son did in the first Christmas. He came down into our cave, into our prison, into our mess to rescue us from where we were trapped. But to get us out, it would take him to his death. Now that's all in that word redeem. It comes in verse 5. It's our key word really. He redeemed us. The Bible word redeem is all about freeing slaves. There's a slave market and you could go and buy yourself a slave. And if you buy a slave and set them free, well then you have redeemed that slave. And that's what Jesus did for us in his death. He redeemed us. In his death on the cross, he paid the price to set us free. We turned our backs on God, messed up his world, and we deserve to be cut off from him forever. But God's Son comes into the world and he takes that penalty on himself. He pays the price to redeem us, to set us free. Now, if this is the first time you're hearing all this, well, then there's a lot to take in, I know, but here it is in a nutshell. The rags-to-riches story of the world is that we have turned from God and so are born as slaves to the basic desires of our hearts. We have made a right mess of this world, but God's Son looked on us in love and he came into this world. He has joined us in our mess, he redeemed us and paid all our debts, and he's done that to win us as his bride forever. He's died for us to make us one with him and to bring us into God's family. So how can I be sure that I'm a child of God? Second answer, well, look at God's Son and how he came to redeem us. You see, this takes us further than our first reason, because the thing I reckon that most Christian people make them doubt that they are a child of God is that we look at what we've done in the past, we look at our hearts, and we think, I am too bad for God's family. Well, let me tell you that he already knows that, silly. It's the very reason why God's son came. He knew who he was marrying before he got married. You see, often Christians say to me, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a very good one. Well, let me let you into a secret. None of us are. That's the very message of the Bible, isn't it? We were all born as slaves. We're all born as bad people into this world. But he came and joined us in our mess. He gave his life to redeem us. You see, the problem is we so easily slip into thinking that our religious or moral performance is what earns us a place in God's family. And if we think, well, I'm meeting the targets God sets, then I'll get proud and I'll start looking down on other people. If I'm failing the targets God sets, well, then I'll get crushed and I'll feel like God must have booted me out of his family. But God works in such a different way to that. Imagine for a moment that the whole population of the world was placed on a giant bookcase. Okay, it'd be a huge, great thing, wouldn't it? On the top shelf of this bookcase are all the people in the world who've made, well, I guess we might think have made a huge difference for good. I don't know who you'd put there, maybe Gandhi, Mother Teresa, I don't know who you'd stick up there. Below that on the next shelf might be a lot of charity workers. Then you might have below that people who seem like kind of good people, the kind of people you'd lend your car to. And then below that, you might have people you would happily hang out with. But then as you go down the shelves, it's getting more and more into people who, well, you might avoid. And then people you might start calling bad people. And maybe, I don't know who you'd put right at the bottom, maybe someone like Hitler, I don't know, someone like that, I guess. Now, here's the question. Where does God draw the line? Who is part of his family? I reckon most of us would put ourselves somewhere in the middle, roughly, and we'd probably draw the line a bit below us. But it leaves us a bit uncertain, doesn't it? Have a bad day? Oh, maybe I've crossed under that line. Well, let me ask the question, where does God draw the line? What does he do? Let me say that he draws the line vertically, not horizontally. On one side are all those who have faith in Jesus. And on the other side are all those who don't have faith in Jesus. It's all those who have faith in Jesus, as we've already seen, who are part of his family. Whether they are people we might put at the top and call good, or people we might put at the bottom and call bad. It's those who have faith in Jesus who are in God's family. And that's because being in God's family does not depend at all on us clocking up God points. It totally depends on God's Son and his death to redeem us. It 100% depends on him and not on me. By birth, I'm a slave. I'm outside of God's family. He must adopt me. And he does that through his son. He's done that, not me. And that means my standing in God's family is utterly certain and fixed. It means I can say there is nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. And there is nothing I can do to make him love me any less. My standing in God's family is utterly fixed and certain. So this is the second answer. How can I be sure I'm a child of God? Look at how God's son came to redeem us. Do not think you're too bad to be in God's family. He came to bring bad people into God's family. If you trust in Jesus, he's forgiven you and he's working to change your heart. And then thirdly and lastly, look at how God's Son sent his Spirit to live in us. Here's the third reason. It comes in chapter 4, verse 6. It says this, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul's saying that if we've been adopted into God's family, then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's Son, was sent to live inside us. It's the most incredible thing, isn't it, to think that God should live inside me. Wow. It means, for one, that, well, we're never alone if we're Christians. But it's more than that. Notice what the Spirit does inside us. It means the Spirit moves us to cry out, Abba, Father. Now, long before Abba was a 1970s Swedish pop band, Abba was the informal word in Aramaic for father. It means daddy. The Holy Spirit who lives in Christians moves our hearts to cry to God as our daddy. It's what Jesus cried out on earth when he prayed, Abba, Father. And so now the Spirit lives in God's children and he moves us to call out in the same way. Now we're going to see loads more on this next week, but for this week, as we look at this issue of security, the point is that we have been adopted. If we have been adopted and brought into God's family, then we can know that we are part of his family if there's something in us calling out to God as our Father. It's much more than just simply firing a quick prayer when we're in trouble. It's much more than the empty, repetitive prayers of so much religion. What it is the daily experience of calling on God as our dad, knowing that he cares for us, speaking to him from our hearts, knowing that he loves us. It's deeper than surface feelings, isn't it? Feelings come and go, the good days and the bad days. But when there's a cry in our hearts to talk to him, which is deeper than that, to talk to him as our dad, then we have reason to believe that we are part of his family. So this week, know that if these things are true of you, that you are part of God's family. And if these things are not yet true of you, know that God wants to adopt you into his family. He wants to bring you into a place where you are utterly secure. Look at how his son made us one with him. Look at how his son came to redeem us. Look at how his son sent his Spirit to live in us. Amen. Well, let me close this talk with a prayer. Father, we thank you that you want to adopt us into your family. Father, that you save us not just to become your servants, but to become your sons and daughters. And Father, I want to pray for everyone here this morning who is not yet a Christian. Father, I want to pray that they might come into your family. Father, I pray you bring them to a place where they feel like, yes, I can trust Jesus. I can give my life to him. And for those of us who are Christians, Father, I want to pray this morning we would walk away with that certainty and security that we belong to you. May you fill us with a sense of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.